it wasn't for the lighthouse. You know, if you're out on a rough sea, probably doesn't matter if it's a really beautiful lighthouse. Doesn't matter if it has a lot of money in it. What matters is that it's there and that the light shines. What good is it if the light doesn't shine? So today, I'm going to talk about bury and carry. It's the weekend of remembrance of those that have given their life for this country. A sacrifice that many people don't get to because they're at the picnic. They're eating the hot dog and forgetting the blood that was shed. And I hope we never forget the blood that was shed. I have a button on here that I know my sister gave me. Land of the free because of the brave. That's why we're here. Now, you all know that I like to write poems. But I'm not a journal. I don't like to journal. People give me journals all the time. I hope nobody in this room has. Because I don't use them. Here's the reason. Same reason I don't use calendars. If I write it down and I put it away so it looks really nice and neat, I forget all about it. I can't tell you what I'm doing. I got to put little notes everywhere. That's how I remember. That's the way my mind works, and you can pray for me. Years ago, I was going to be really good, and I was going to put somebody I was working with at a law firm. We were going to go out for supper or do something, and I wrote it in, and I was very proud of myself. And I did just that. I closed it up, put it away, never gave it another thought. Did not give it another thought, and she was a lovely person. My aunt came in town, and that took precedence over my brain, apparently, and went to work the next day, and she looked at me like, where were you? And honestly, I'm sure I looked like a deer caught in headlights. I said, what do you mean, where was I? Well, we were supposed to meet. I said, really? Well, sorry. Apparently, what was in the brain slipped out and never did return. So I don't generally write journals, only because I never think of it. I know some of you are very good at journaling, and I like my sister's journals because they're very colorful, and she'll have to publish them someday with a disclaimer. But anyway, I've started and stopped many times through the years, and the other day I came across a journal, and I figured while it was empty, I'm going to ditch it, but it was full of stuff I had written years ago. And so I decided to open it up and start looking at it. And some of it was just thoughts the Lord gave me, different ideas and this and that. But one of them I came across had an entry from April 5th, 2001, which is the anniversary of our mother's death. So it's always a memorable day. And this is what I wrote, because the Lord would have, I'm sure I was thinking of her. And some people bury their treasures in the ground, and they carry their burdens around. You know what we need to do? We need to bury our burdens and carry our treasures. Did you know that the people, when you lay someone to rest, you don't really leave them there? Did you know that? I told somebody one time, because we were going into Lakewood Cemetery, and a lady in the back seat, we were taking her there because she didn't have any other way to get there. And it's a beautiful cemetery. The grounds are lovely. She's in the back seat, and I kid you not, she went, she's going to love it here. I looked in the back seat, and I said, ma'am, there's no windows. What do you mean she's going to love it here? If she's not in the presence of the Lord, she's got a bigger problem. If this is the most we have to offer, we are up a creek without a paddle, as they say. And so I remember thinking, I don't think so. we carry the people with us, part of our life, part of our influence. I'll pick on Jan Kunze just because she's not here to defend herself, but we carry her every day, don't we? And we miss her every day, of course. Our Rose. We didn't bury her. We're carrying her. And she's with the presence, in the presence of the Lord. We need to flip it a little bit. We need to bury our burdens. Don't be dragging them around. I mean, are you kidding? You know, you see some of those people that pull cars and they pull trucks and they show their strength. That's what we're doing when we carry our burdens. The only problem is we can't really carry them. Not at all. So I want you to turn to Psalm 55, one of the great psalms. Of course, they're all great, but I love this one in particular. Psalm of David. How many know he carried burdens? His whole family was a burden. I mean, really? But he carried burdens. So I'm going to read from 16 to 18 and then 22. But I call to God and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress. And he hears my voice. He ransoms me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. And then, down to 22, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. There's other translations I like a little better, so I'll share that. This psalm was written by David. It's called a maskil, which means it is an instructive poem. You know, when you think about poetry, and there's a lot of different kinds, and to be honest, there's some of it that makes no sense at all. It's only in the mind of the poet it makes sense. I like to write things I hope that make sense. Now, if they don't, I apologize, but I try. This is instructive poems, didactic, meaning to teach us something. You know, the Bible is history, it's mystery, it's future, it's prophecy, it's instruction, it's everything. But every bit of it is to be a teacher for us. We're supposed to learn. And a while ago, I think I was sharing the word learn has the word earn in it. And if we continue to think we have to earn salvation, we haven't learned anything. Because that's what the Bible is really talking about. But here we are, this great psalm for the choir director. I know Marianne always loves that, because the choir director would take the words and put music to it. I can't wait to hear the music of the Psalms. They were written to music. How many know that music lifts the soul? Remember David when he played the harp? And it lifted the evil spirit off of King Saul. True music in the hand of God is a worshipful event. And it is a battle, because the enemy wants to sit on you and the Lord wants to lift you up. Brian alluded to that when our DS was here last week. And I emailed him and I told him the backstory on this song, God Will Make a Way. I said, I have to tell you that the gentleman that picks out the song for the greeting, he did it about 2 to 3 weeks prior, not knowing that it would connect in your soul, and that it was such an important song for your life and for your family. And then on top of it, said the fact that your story was your son Luke, who was given 50-50 chance of living, would land over to our dear Marcella, whose great-grandson was given 50-50 chance about a day before Tim came, or something like that, very close. Said, Tim, you have no idea what your tears, they watered the garden of this church. And he wrote me back and he said, you're such a great encourager. I think people should know, to know the eternal benefit. But that's what music does. That's what God's music does, okay? Let's clarify that for a minute. But it was wonderful. The intimidator leaked all over the place. And he says, I'm not too intimidating, am I? Not right now, you're not. That'll change. But this is a psalm of the lifting of burdens. Of the lifting of burdens. And a portion in here, I'm not going to preach on it, but I love it. In the 12th verse, if an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. See, if it's somebody you don't like that bothers you, then what do you care? Because you don't like them anyway. Okay? If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. But it's you, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to go to church together. Do you know some of the greatest wounds come from the church? We afflict our wounded and our people. It's called friendly fire. But it don't feel so friendly when you get hit, does it? The burdens that we feel, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship. That to me is it's been a scripture the Lord used many times in my life. It also says in this great psalm, if I had wings of a dove, I would fly away. If I had wings. How many times have you said, I wish I could fly out of this circumstance? Man. You know, the air traffic controllers wouldn't know what to do if everyone was flying around like that. It'd be cool, though. You know, I'd probably go into a building. But at any rate, but a lot of the burdens are in church and church-related. Why? Because we expect more of people that are believers. And we should. But we also need to have grace. That's what grace is for, right? So, what is the solution here? I love this portion. But as for me, in one of the translations, I call out to God. As for me, when I have a burden, I'm first going to the Lord. You realize what a lot of people do? They go to God at the end of everything they've already tried to do. Instead of going to God first and saying, Lord, direct my steps so I know what to do, so I know how to solve this particular situation. He says, as for me, this word I or myself, ani, it means I personally am going. Now, we believe in praying for one another. We have a prayer chain on the email, and you can email any day, anytime you want. You can call for prayer requests. Please do so. We want to be standing there with each other. But at the end of the day, folks, you have to go to God yourself. There are a lot of belief systems that you can only get to God through other people. There's only one people I know we can get to God, and that's Jesus. And if you add anybody else to that list, you're never going to get there. I myself, I'm going to call upon the Lord. The Hebrew means to call, to proclaim. And in the late, which means very old Hebrew, it means to read and to call out loud. How many of you, when somebody's standing right by you, you're calling them out loud? Because you know they're not paying attention. So you say it loud. When you're in distress, you cry out loud, don't you? You need to get it out of yourself. None of this interior stuff. We need to get it out. What do we call it? We call it crying out. And it is definitely a part that helps us. And I'm calling to Elohim, who is the God of creation, the Trinity, and he is the God that is listening. And so as we talked about in the Godhead, who's the one that hears our prayers? The Father. Who's the one that he sends to save and to do the work? It is the Son. Yahweh here, the Lord, is Jesus Christ, second person of the Godhead. And he is the one that will bring the victory. How many are glad? He is the victory. The word Yasha here means to save and to deliver, and it really means to open wide. And to be free. I love that, to give width and breadth. Do you know what's wrong with a lot of religion? They're so restrictive, nobody could get in. You gotta be this way, you gotta look that way, you gotta think that way. The Lord gave us a wide berth at the cross. Now there's only one way, through Jesus. But he didn't strangle us, did he? with the law. And he didn't do some of this that the churches are doing today's world. It's called excessive grace. And what that basically means is you don't have grace because you have nothing. It's so wide, you don't even know what it means anymore. There still has to be a standard of righteousness. There has to be a standard, and that standard is Jesus Christ. Okay? So the salvation God gives us through Christ is wide open. I mean, it gives us freedom to move and to breathe and to live for Him. You don't wake up every day and go, I didn't wake up right. How can you wake up wrong unless you wake up on the floor? I mean, that wouldn't be good. But how can you do that? You can't. So he says, I'm going to call unto God. And this is a place where my response is what? It's my responsibility. Nobody can cry to God for you but you. And he wants to hear from you. And so it says here, evening, morning, and noon, I'm going to cry out to him. You know why it starts with evening? Because the Jewish day starts at night. That's why Marianne and I are always so excited, because people say, get up early in the morning. Hey, we're night people. I admit it. I'm owly, I know it. But that's where the day starts. I think it's glorious. sick. Commit every time of watch of the day to our Lord. He says, because I cried aloud to him. That Hebrew word means to murmur, to growl, to roar. It means it's the figurative of a soul discouraged and very upset. Now, if you're really hungry, do you go in and say, you know, I'd really like to eat? No, you probably raise your voice a little bit. I hope you don't raise it really bad. But when we're crying unto the Lord, let's forget all the niceties and just say, God, here I am. I'm hurting. I'm upset. I've got a burden here I can't even lift. I can't even identify it. And he will hear my voice. How many are glad? I got news for you. I don't care how loud somebody else is, God will hear your voice if you're calling in faith and in hope. He will hear you even if it's, you can barely talk. He doesn't have a hearing problem. So this word, my voice, it means to call aloud. Again, to call out loud. Man, get it outside of you. Now, crying out is not complaining. Did you know that? When you're crying to the Lord, don't complain, explain. There's a difference when you're telling him what's going on in your life. So here's your freedom. It says in the 18th verse, this again is Dixie. She just exemplifies this. He ransoms me unharmed. She's ransomed twice. That's her maiden name, and she's been redeemed. He ransoms me unharmed. The word delivered is what the word means, padah, and it means to deliver by any means necessary, to ransom, redeem. You know, when you see people being delivered out of the murky waters, they do whatever they have to do. Aren't you glad the Lord didn't stop and he did what had to be done? Thank God, you do what's necessary to save and to redeem and to deliver somebody. The primitive root for this word means to sever and to release. You know what that means, folks? When the Lord saves us, when he redeems us, when he buys us back, the stuff behind us is supposed to be severed. You're not supposed to drag it with you. It's supposed to whoosh. So you turn around today and go, what are you traveling with me for? You're supposed to be gone. You're not supposed to come with me. I don't have a hitch. I don't want you to come with me. Then he says, I'm delivered in peace from the battle that rages against me. Peace. Shalom. Completeness, soundness, welfare. Comes from a word shalom, which means to be safe, There's really nothing more important in life than feeling safe, right? Not only for your salvation, but every day to feel safe that God is in charge of your life. It's very important. This is a scary world, isn't it? And he says, he will redeem my soul in peace. My soul, nephesh is the word, your individual uniqueness. You are an individual soul, a person that is unlike anyone else. That's the person God has redeemed. So don't try to be like someone else, because the Lord redeemed you. You be who God wants you to be. That's the best person you can be. And everybody that has learned that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we'll pray for the rest of you. Okay. God has redeemed me from the battle that rages against me. How many know there's a battle raging against you? Do you know the minute you get saved, the devil gets the feelers out? Doot, 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 doot. Boink. Boink. He doesn't bother you before because he don't care. You're already his. But the minute you get saved, you come into that warfare. The word here means a battle and a war, but it really means a hostile encounter. And the word it comes from means to come near and approach. I'm telling you, you know what really warfare is in the Christian world? It's hand-to-hand combat. The devil doesn't come to us from afar. He comes up close. He whispers in your ear, maybe God didn't mean that. He loves everybody but you. And he gets really close. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad God can get closer. Thank God. I don't care how close the enemy tries to get, the Lord will come closer. And so he tells us here, the 22nd verse, cast your cares on the Lord. This word cast, it's like how many of you, I know Jerry loves to fish. Now, do you sit there and talk to the bait, or do you just cast it out there? Now, you do a good job, and you go find me a fish. I don't think that happens. I mean, maybe somebody does it. If you've ever done it, God bless you. But cast it. Throw it away. Get it out of you. Get it away from you. The Arabic word, which I found interesting, is the word to travel, to cause to travel. Did you know we got to send our burdens packing? Send the luggage with them. I'm telling you. Get rid of it in your life. Whatever it's bound to, whatever it's hanging on to, cast it, throw it away. Put it in God's hands. Because if you don't, it's going to continue to harass you. He says, cast your burden. Your burden is the lot or what is given to you. Did you know there are burdens that God gives you? There are burdens in your life that God specifically identifies for you. This is why you can't bear somebody else's truthfully. You cannot carry someone else's guilt or problem or take it upon yourself because God didn't bring it for them and for you. He will give you strength for what you are uniquely given. Now, this is talking about God's burdens in our life, not necessarily the burdens we carry around. The ones we carry around, we need to fling on him. The ones he gives us, guess what? He helps us carry. He probably does the greater part, I'm sure. He says, I want you to cast your burdens on the Lord because he's going to sustain you. And this word, which is a great word, it means to sustain, to support, to nourish. But it comes from a root that means keep in and measure. You know what that means? He's going to sustain you. You know why? Because he's not going to let it get over the banks. He's going to let it be controlled. God will not give us more than we can what? Handle. And will with it provide a way of escape. Problem is most people don't look for the way to escape. And God gives us the answers. And he says, I will never allow the righteous to be moved. The word allow, nafen, means to put, to give, and to set in a certain spot. I will not allow you as a believer. I will not allow that to happen. And the word to move is the word shaken. Mote. It means to totter and to shake. Kind of like they were out in different parts where the earthquake hit. It means to slip, to waver and be carried away. One of the saddest things is when people try to walk or drive through water that you know is probably too deep. And the minute you get into it, you cannot control it anymore, and you get carried away. And unfortunately, there are people, of course, that do not survive. The Lord said, call upon me. Cast your burden on me. And I will sustain you. I'll keep it in the boundaries. I will never allow the righteous to be shaken or carried away. Not if you're looking to him. That's the promise from the Word of God. And I want to tell you something in closing here about the flag on Memorial Day. There's a lot of things you're supposed to do with a flag and how you're supposed to honor it. And on Memorial Day, the flag is supposed to be raised briskly to the top and then lowered half until noon. And at noon, it's supposed to return to its full place. And the reason for that is in the first half of the day, you have the mourning for the loss of those that have given their life for this country. In the second half of the day, you live your life because of that sacrifice. And you declare it to everyone you see. Jesus died for us. He sacrificed his life for us. He is the flag and the banner above us. And every time the devil sees it, he gets nervous. You know what we're supposed to do? Mourning is over. It's time to live for him. It's time to say, thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice you've made. I want everyone to know my burdens are rolled away at the cross. And I'm going to cast them to the one who can take care of them. Because anybody else is not going to be able to do that. On Decoration Day, which is what it was called to begin with, you'll like this, Jan. In the Civil War, they would have dinner on the grounds as kind of a reunion and have people come back together. And they would spread the dishes out on the sheets or tablecloths on the grass as a family reunion. And that's probably how the potluck started. Although we don't serve it out on the grass. So we thank God for that. But nonetheless, it's afternoon in terms of Christianity. It's time to live our faith. Cast your burden on God. Let him lift you up. Bow your heads, please, for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are just eternally grateful for the song that you give in the night, for the songs of the Psalms, Lord Jesus, set to the melodies of heaven, Lord, that lift us, that drive the devil away, because true music by God will do that. It will lift us into your holy presence, and the devil knows he's not welcome there. He doesn't feel comfortable. But I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, for every life here today, Father, especially for the battle that rages against some. Lord Jesus, that burden that is just choking the life out of people. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that they would call upon you like they've never called on you before to say, Lord Jesus, I don't want to drag this thing around with the rest of my life. The mourning is over. It's time to live for Jesus Christ. It's time to thank God in a greater way for that great sacrifice that he has bestowed upon us. God, may this truly be a day of remembering what you've done for each one of us. Father, I thank you that you redeem us in peace from the battle that rages. May your peace flood this place, holy God of all. And Lord Jesus, may burdens collapse as lives are lifted. And I ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing this last song, you can stand. But if you need God to touch you, come up to the altar, if you would, and we will have a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you ask us to bury the burdens, for once to get rid of them. And the only safe place is in your hands, because you know exactly where to put them. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for those that have come forward, Lord, in particular. Lord Jesus, the burdens that are upon them, Lord, I pray that you would lift them by your power, by your presence, and that the song of the faithful God would rise up, Lord, in each spirit, in every life, God, and would do a work, Lord Jesus, unlike anything that we've ever seen. And for those that do not even realize the enemy has been trying to take their song and destroy it, the song of the redeemed cannot be destroyed. It is forever in heaven. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, I rebuke the enemy and I rebuke his lies and everything that he's ever tried to do, that he's continuing to try to do, because he knows his time is short. And we lift up the sovereign God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, and we just call him a liar, and we call Jesus Christ true and faithful as he is. Lord Jesus, you did not intend for us to carry the burden. You carried it on the cross, and you did it once for us. Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would lift burdens, you would heal bodies, you would restore mental health, you would restore families. Lord, you'd restore relationships. God, you would restore finances. Lord, you would restore anything, Lord, in particular, Lord, that has been cut off because we haven't severed the things that are choking our life. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for your full victory for every life, every family, and all circumstances. And we praise you and we bless you. And we honor you that you are the lighthouse. You're looking out for us, actually. That's the great thing about the lighthouse, is that there's eyes behind it that are looking out for each one of us. Thank you, you don't miss us. May we look to you for life, liberty, and the true pursuit of happiness, which can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for a safety on this Memorial Weekend. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd be glorified in every life, God, because you came to give us life, and that more abundantly. Thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. See you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock.